Phil Hendry Show.
My son has cerebral palsy and epilepsy. He's 4.
Mr. Hunt is now up. Mr. Hunt, you have to move your hood.
What was the one case in Perry Mason? Burger one.
The moment you put your hands on that pole, what did it feel like?
World famous Phil Hendry Show to 1 a.m. on the east on the west coast. Wait a minute. 1 a.m. on the east coast, it'd be 10 o'clock. Yeah, no, till 1 a.m. on the. Never mind.
Please stand by.
All right. So anyway, 1 a.m. on the west coast, 4 a.m. on the east coast. I'm very. You know what? Give me this thing, man. I'm going to kill somebody.
What?
Are you listening to that pot? Listen to that, man. I'm going to clean that. Open your mouth, bud.
No, I don't want it.
Open your mouth.
I don't want it.
Yeah. You ain't going to brush your teeth? You're going to get the air.
Don't do that, man. You got high on that.
Oh, I forgot about that. You huff this stuff. Anyway, welcome to the program, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about each and every night until 1 a.m. on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast from El Pacifico. Tonight we'll have a little bit of a loon alert for you. Not much, just enough to frighten you. Nah, it's not even all that scary. Bruno's been banned in the Ukraine. Is that...
Not really.
Okay, so that's no big thing. But we thought we'd lay that on you. We'll also have a world according to. One of our very special guests will be joining us this evening. And weird stuff, weird scenes in the gold mine tonight. On this radio show, of course, we try to give you a little bit of what's going on as opposed to what we think you think, what they think, that the you know, filtering it through 55 different sets of ideologies until it comes out, basically what comes out of the rear end of a horse, right? Like today, I was watching this guy, Steve King from Iowa. Now, you can give a speech on the floor of the Senate if you are in the House of Congress, the House of Representatives if you want to. Which is what he was doing. And you can tell people why you think the health care plan sucks, which is what he was doing. But then he couldn't resist. No, he couldn't resist. No, King, you had to do, you know, you were impressing me for a while because I heard you say, you know, as to your opinion and ideology and belief, this is not the way to go with health care. You think that it's going to drive insurance companies out of business. I understand. I didn't quite agree with your argument. But I understood. But then you had to go that extra mile, didn't you? See, you had to go that extra, what I call the real kook mile, man. Just whoo, right down the final mile to nuts when you said, you see, the Obama administration and the Democrats, they want to destroy the free enterprise system. Now, I don't love Democrats. As far as I'm concerned, they can all go down in the same ship Republicans are on. It wouldn't matter to me at all, man. I wouldn't lose 1 minute of sleep if every last one of you bastards sunk in a ship tomorrow on your way to some Social Security soiree someplace at a resort maybe on the French Riviera, because that's what was going on. It's another story we got for you. The guys with the Social Security Administration, oh, yeah, they were boogieing down, man, at some golf resort in Arizona. You ready for that? 700 Gs. Oh, yeah. No, it wouldn't matter to me, but what I can't stand is the fact that you can't just state your case. Then you got to say something really asinine to make who happy exactly. Are those the people that are voting for you, man? Seriously. I mean, if they are, then I understand how you would say things like, for instance, they're going to dance in the streets in the Middle East when Obama's elected. All of that stupid crap that you were saying that hasn't seemed to stick to you. You talk about the Teflon Don, man. King, you got them all beat, you know. Your name ought to be Don King. Your name ought to be Steve Don King of Iowa. No, you got to go out just that one extra step and say they all believe in socialism. Let me tell you something. I have never heard anybody say the following. Never. Not anybody who works in Congress. I've never heard anybody say these conservatives want to destroy every single shred of social safety net, every single shred of social support that the government can provide. They want the government to completely go out of business when it comes to helping people. That's what conservatives want. I've never heard anybody stand up and say something like that, ever. So when it comes to hyperbole, when it comes to reaching for the extreme, man, you got everybody beat. What the hell, are you stupid or something? I mean, I knew it when I talked to you the first time. I didn't think you were all that bright with that dancing of the street jazz, but I thought, well, I don't know, maybe you, it was your time of the month. I don't know what your problem was, but today you're there in the House of Representatives. You're talking about a health care plan that, you know, everybody's going to argue about this thing, but you want to go that, like I said, you want to take that extra step, and you want to say that Obama believes in socialism, and Obama believes that the free enterprise system is, you know, no good, and they want to get rid of all of it. You must be some kind of real paranoid jackass, and people like you, and I know that there's a few of them, do nothing other than to hurt this country. That's why I will say it again. I don't believe for a minute there's one human being in the Republican or Democratic Party or in the conservative progressive movement that cares anything about this country. All they want is to make sure that their little club stays chartered. That's all you guys care about. That's all you care about, King. You just want to make sure that you can stand there with your hand in your pants and your thumb in your ear talking about how they want to get rid of the free enterprise system. You see how the whole debate just goes to hell? Just goes to hell right after that. I can't take a guy like that seriously. I'll never take a guy like that seriously. No, I'm listening to this. And up to that point, it was kind of an interesting debate. Well, you know, here's the chart, and it says it's the clearinghouse. The government's going to have this. Now, yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff in that plan that only an imbecile would support. I mean, believe me, if you support this health care plan that's being floated right now in the Congress that comes from the White House, well, you need your head examined. I don't anticipate, though, that even Obama supports it. I think what you do is you put everything but the kitchen sink in there, knowing that somebody's going to start, you know, cutting things, and you're hoping that they cut the right stuff. They've got all kinds of silly crap in this plan that's worthless. But what they do have that I think is a good idea, they have a basic government oversight over a kind of a brokerage for insurance companies. You need insurance? Yes. Well, here's a plan here. Here's a plan here. Here's, you know, like a brokerage. Like a, I don't know, an insurance broker, for instance, or a mortgage broker, where you go and you say, well, I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this. And the same thing goes for this particular kind of healthcare brokerage that the government would operate. The other thing is that it would, if you cannot afford or you don't like any of those plans, then the government has its own plan. And it is that plan, the government-sponsored plan, that's got everybody flipping out, those who are against this quote-unquote socialized medicine. We're getting into the business of medicine. You're going to be standing in line. And it's described by Obama as more or less a backup to the plans that are out there. It's described by guys like King as the worst thing that ever happened. You know, the complete destruction of the free enterprise system as we know it. It may be described in other ways. But, you know, these are things to be debated, but not some guy standing up there and getting in on this whole, you know, he wants to destroy the free enterprise system. Don't you understand we got problems, man? Why do you got to throw that stuff in? I swear to God, there ought to be a law where a sergeant at arms can walk up and just slap some guy across the face. What did you say? Well, Obama wants to get rid of, you know, in days gone by, we had time for that. But you know what? Here. And then just have him cry, you know, cry like the little bitch that he is and get him out of here. And let's listen to somebody else because we ain't got time for that. Well, he's really serious. If he's serious, well, then the people of the district that he represents, they deserve everything that they get. Everything they get. Every bit of embarrassment. Guy like that, he's probably on his way to a soft room anyway. Either that or some sex scandal. And don't worry about it, man. The Democrats got their fair share, too. I ain't going to say she's this nuts. But today, and I'm not even saying she's nuts. As a matter of fact, I think she did a very nice thing. Rachel Maddow on her TV show today, after years of saying the Iraq War was a criminal effort and excoriating George Bush for everything and anything that he could possibly do, including getting up in the morning and having maybe a bacon sandwich instead of his usual fried eggs, today she was talking about how she and her viewers, and God bless them for doing this, in mentioning the Iraq baseball team, the national baseball team, they were able to raise a lot of money or get a lot of equipment for the Iraqi national baseball team. I thought it was fantastic that Rachel did that and her viewers did that. And I just thought, boy, the irony is just you could cut it with a knife. The fact that she's getting equipment for an Iraqi national baseball team that wouldn't even exist were it not for the criminal George Bush. So you see, that's not quite the Steve King thing, man. But, you know, We all, whether we like it or not, man, you're walking down the hall with a hospital gown on, is the way I call it. You know how they used to walk down the hall, they'd say, just go down there, Mr. Henry, that's what they say to me, and pee in that cup, and your ass is hanging out of the hospital gown? Well, sooner or later in life, we're all walking down the hall, man, and there's our ass end hanging out, meaning we weren't right about everything. Some things we just couldn't get. You might as well just own up to it and move on. Now, with Rachel, she's not about to say George Bush did a good thing by invading Iraq. It's not going to happen, not in my lifetime. But you know what? She raised some, she got some equipment together for the ballplayers. With Steve King, maybe someday he's going to look in the mirror and go, what are you? What are you, an idiot? What was it? It was either those roofies or it was ecstasy, you know, or maybe you were out with all those guys that night in that Hangover movie, because when you start yakking about how Obama wants to get rid of the whole free enterprise system, even the most, anybody with an education past kindergarten who is the most staunch conservative in the world would never believe that. Not in reality. Not if they had their ass and their head wired together. It ain't going to happen. I'm talking to a friend of mine yesterday. He says, well, you know, Obama's going to get rid of guns. I said, you don't believe that. Well, you know, let's go back. Do you really believe he's going to get rid of guns? Well, you know, Phil, a lot of the... No. Forget about a lot of the things this and the thing that he said here. Do you really believe that Obama is going to get rid of guns? If you really believe that, and I'm being very serious, you need a psychiatrist. You need a doctor. Because you have no evidence of that. And he's like, ha, 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 ha. I said, I'm not kidding, man. I said, you have no evidence of that whatsoever. No evidence of that whatsoever. That is pure partisan bullcrap, and you need a psychiatrist. Well, you know. I said, you still got that 5 spot? He says, yeah, Anyway, so that's what's been happening today. And there's other things. Al Franken and Sonia, whatever the hell her name is, they were talking about Perry Mason. Her name is Sotomayor. I don't mean to be disrespectful. And a man in a Ku Klux Klan robe walked into an L.A. City Council meeting. But that's not the funny part. The funny part was the L.A. City Council trying to figure out what was legal, what wasn't, what was a quorum, what wasn't. The guy in the robe was strictly just the opening act. We'll talk about that and more. We got a Loon Alert tonight. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And don't forget, we're at our website tonight, as usual, www.philhenryshow.com. We got live streaming video and we got live streaming audio. You can watch, you can listen, and you can hold your hand over your mouth and go... as you see what's happening, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we got a story here. Man in Klan robe prompts L.A. Council to walk out. Now, this is a story about a guy that walked into a Los Angeles City Council meeting wearing a Ku Klux Klan robe, but that's not really the interesting part of the story. In fact, he was, in my opinion, this guy was upstaged by the city attorney. And the funny thing about all of this, and we'll play it in a second for you, is that the city attorney, in trying to figure out what was legal and what wasn't, what was free speech and what wasn't, whether they had a quorum or whether they didn't, well, you'll hear it here in a minute. Let's go to a phone call. We have Jeremy in Nashville. Jeremy, you're on the air. What's on your mind tonight?
Hello? Yeah, Phil,
yes,
how are you?
Fine.
I just wanted to ask you, man to man, I'm going to put all political considerations aside. This business with Al Franken and asking the nominee for the Supreme Court about a Perry Mason case. Honestly.
Uh-huh. Why don't we listen to this so that I've got that audio. And I tell you what we'll do here, Jeremy. Let's listen to it. No, I'm going to listen to the audio, and then you and I will talk so that people know what it is we're talking about.
Okay,
here it is.
Good,
what
sir.
Was the one case in Perry Mason?
Well,
Berger
I
won.
Wish I remembered the name of the episode, but I don't. I just was always struck that there was only one case where his client was actually guilty. And
you don't remember that case?
I know that I should remember the name of it, but I haven't looked at the episodes.
Didn't the White House prepare you for...
Is that the segment that you're talking about where he was asking her about Perry Mason?
Yes, sir. And I just want to preface my remarks by saying that you and I have gone around before, excuse me, and we've disagreed. But I want to take all political considerations out of this argument. I want to speak to you honestly, man to man.
Okay? Man to man.
Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay.
And just man to man.
The moment you put your hands on that pole.
All right, so what did you want to say?
I mean, this is just, I am just, you know, I am just left speechless with this. This is so ridiculous. I've been to Minnesota, and I, as a matter of fact, I have a friend in Minnesota.
I lived in St. Paul for a year.
I cannot believe that the people of Minnesota actually elected this man to office. I'm sorry, and I'm not coming at you from a political point of view.
I know. I agree that it sounds silly.
Mr. Phil.
Yeah.
Sir,
yeah.
This is so absurd and so ridiculous and so beneath the institution of the United States Senate that I cannot believe that, the American people are tolerating this. And I'll leave you with this. I just want to know, what do you really honestly think of this absurdity? I'd like to hear.
Well, my question is, and I don't know. You're right, yeah. But my question is, and I don't know. I don't. Okay, one of the reasons why you and I have probably been around and around is because you talk. You won't let me talk here. I'm just trying to answer your question.
Okay, well, no, I just wanted
and
to.
And the question.
To be respectful.
I understand, but one of the problems that I have is that I don't know if that was all he said, if he asked other questions. My understanding was a very uneventful day. There wasn't anything of any significance. Tom Coburn gave a speech about the interruptions. They asked her questions, which were stupid questions. You never ask them what their opinion is. You never ask a judge, what is your opinion of abortion? You never ask a judge, what's your opinion? Yeah, that's the stupidest question, but they have to ask those because it gets their little points in. It gets their little political points in so the people back home can say, oh, he asked a question. People don't know that that's a dumb question. Now comes Al Franken. You want to know what I think? I think Al Franken probably did a little bit of that, maybe because he was either nervous, because there all of the good questions had been asked, and I think that the people of Minnesota will have just so much tolerance for that. In other words, a little bit of that goes a long way. If he doesn't know that, he should. That kind of shtick on a slow day maybe is fine. If that becomes a part of his act, then it's going to get really tiresome. And he'll ultimately have to answer to the voters, just as Jesse Ventura and his roadshow had to. I think on a slow day, I didn't laugh. I didn't think it was funny, but I've never thought Al Franken was funny anyway. I have heard senators be funny. I have heard them tell jokes. I have heard laughter in those rooms. That questioning by Al Franken was probably expected by some people. Maybe he did it so that those people would feel, aha, see, there's Al Franken. Maybe he knew it was expected. Like I said, it was a very slow day. Nothing of substance happened. So I suspect that he got away with it today. If he keeps on doing that kind of thing, and thanks very much, Jeremy, for your call. If he keeps on doing it, then people are going to say, okay, move on from the shtick and let's see whether you got a pair in your pants to be a senator from the state of Minnesota. Let's go. But as far as that was concerned, that little demonstration, I thought it was, frankly, that was lame. I think it was pretty indicative of Val's sense of humor. One of the reasons why, you know, he was rotten on the radio. He was a very good writer. As a performer, he's, you know, but he's a senator. So he told a joke, and the nominee, you know, went along with it. And if there'd been really, really important stuff to get through, then it might have been a really egregious thing to do, I think. He said, according to my producer now, I'm told he also asked about freedom of speech on the Internet. Well, that might have been a little bit more interesting to hear. Unfortunately, we don't have that audio. But I will tell you that that kind of questioning on a dull-ass day like today was, where they're saying the stupid-ass questions like they always do. You don't ask a nominee, what is your opinion of Roe versus Wade? You know, what do you think about... Because she answered that. She said it is set, it's precedent, and that's where it's at. I'm not going to tell you my opinion. I'm not going to tell you what I think about this or anything else. Judges don't do that because judges, it's beside the point. They're looking at a case that comes before them. That's a case from 30 plus years ago. So individual cases are what they consider, and to ask them what their opinion is of this or their opinion of that is only something that the senators get off on so they can look really tough. To me, they look stupid, and, you know, that's why today was a meaningless day in the Sotomayor hearings. The Phil Hendry Show coming back. We've got The World According To later on in the program.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 on the West Coast, 4 on the East Coast. This is the only news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We try to, I try to tell you what I think, see, not what I think you think, not what I think, you know, I think you think you want to hear, see? What? Well, never mind. In other words, I try to play it a little more honestly than most people on the air and tell you what's happening. Guy asked me about Al Franken, and Al is whatever the hell he is. I don't know what he is. He's got a lot of opinions and attitudes and ideas that I think are expected, shall you say, in the industry that he worked in. I'm not really sure why people think the way they do, who don't think the way I do, but I try to understand at least, you know. And when I don't hear them making any sense, when I hear them just copying a attitude, you know, or striking a pose, you know, this is kind of the pose that I want to strike. I don't know where they're really coming from, then I just dismiss them. And Franken, unfortunately, is one of those guys that I take and I don't take him serious. If you ask me who's a guy who is a progressive, for instance, that you would take seriously, that you think is a serious guy when it comes to those attitudes and those beliefs, I mean, I'd have to think about it, but I'm sure I could come up with a name or two. But Franken, he ain't one of them. If you ask me who's a real serious conservative who really believes in conservative principles, I'd have to think about it, but I might be able to come up with a name or two. But Franken, I don't think he believes what he says any more than, for instance, I'll give another example, Beck. He didn't believe what he says. Glenn is a nice guy. He's not that bright. He's smart, though, when it comes to business, obviously, and he's a good performer and entertainer, but he doesn't believe that crap he's slinging. And the thing that's really amusing is to watch how, you know, in this game of talk radio and talk television, how easily some members of the audience are you know, wound up by that stuff. See, that's one of the problems I got with the Tea Parties, if you want to be honest about it. I know that the Tea Parties started as an organic idea from the rank and file, from the voter. I know that the idea of a Tea Party came from the electorate. It was not an idea that an advertising agency came up with. But it was very quickly co-opted by a television network called Fox. And I'm not blaming Fox again, because CNN does the same dance. As a matter of fact, I saw this thing today, Black in America, Part 2, on a terrific website called The Black Retort, a African-American journalist who basically ripped CNN a brand spanking new ass over their pandering crap. Black in America Part 2, this cat's saying, we put our kids to bed, I got my wife, we went down, I got an invitation, I had a press release, I'm a journalist, so I figured I'd get in. I stood in a line that went around the block, and as soon as I got up about maybe a quarter of the way to the door, they said, we're sorry, we're full up, we're going to have to kick your ass out, you don't get to get in. And the name of the article that the guy wrote was Knowing What It's Like to Be Black in CNN's Black in America, you know, basically saying what I've said all along about that series they're doing. It's the most obsequious, pandering, syrupy, jive stuff you've ever seen in your life. And I can almost imagine these guys, you know, when they had the meeting, you know, the editorial meeting over there at CNN, a bunch of white jive mothers, and they're saying, well, we better come up with something on black people, because, hell, we got one as president now. So, and Ted brought the word down, man. He was out there on a sailboat. I don't know. He's got a son. He's got some zinc oxide on his nose. He called in. How do you know he's on the boat? Because I saw a little bit of zinc on that cell phone. Oh. And Ted said, you know, in that stupid farm boy voice of his, well, why don't you get some kind of a black, you know, you can, it's almost funny how easy you can predict this stuff, right? So now let's go over to Fox. And what was a good idea, the Tea Parties, Fox has turned it into a sponsorship, man. It might as well be live at the Coliseum, Live Aid, you know, with Peter Gabriel, brought to you by KLOS or WPLJ or what have you. Speaking of great radio stations, I would like to say that we are on, of course, this evening in our newest, well, not really our newest town, because we were on in the great city of Louisville, but we are back on in Louisville tonight, and we're very, very happy to be back on WLRS 105.1 FM Talk. But anyway, WPLJ or any one of those stations. Now, Fox has taken over the Tea Parties. And you guys that had the Tea Party idea, you folks that wanted this to be an organic celebration of a voter initiative, a citizen initiative to send a strong message to Washington, D.C., you don't understand now. You're being moved around the stage by Roger Ailes and the rest of those puffed-up jive asses over there at Fox. Everybody, as much as, you know, Black in America is redefining for black people. If you didn't get it, man, just watch CNN and what it's like to be black in America, man. Because, hey, after all, Suzanne Malveau, she's the White House correspondent, you know.
And, yeah, and they say she's black, and there's no way.
She is black.
No, she's not.
How do you know she's black? Because they said she's black.
She's Mexican or something.
Yeah, man, she don't look black to me. I mean, she look like
Well, I can tell you that she is from Louisiana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that... Anyway... So, you know, what we're trying to tell you is the following. You can believe anything you want. Believe anything you want. Do anything you want. Be all you can be, baby. But don't ask me to go along with it, all right? Don't ask me to sit here and say, well, it's very clear to me that the liberals are the conservatives, because I know that people are more married to their ideology than they are to any idea of getting the truth. Nobody wants truth if it means that they wind up looking stupid. Nobody wants truth if it means that they've got to give up their membership and their conservative, whatever the hell it is, coffee clutch. Nobody wants truth if they got to give up their membership in their progressive sewing circle. Not if it means that they don't want any truth. So don't get fooled, folks. You think a guy wants truth if it means he's got to be wrong? Nope. You think he wants truth if it means he's got to apologize? Nope. Do you think he wants truth if it means he's going to lose? No. Do you think a guy wants truth if it comes at the expense of looking stupid? No. There's all kinds of roadblocks to this thing called truth that everybody claims they want. And they're far more powerful than any desire in this country right now for truth. Let me tell you something. This country will find itself in a far better place when people finally pull their heads out of their asses and begin to become just a little bit more humble and say, maybe I was wrong. Maybe this is the right way to go. Rachel, you took a big step by getting those catcher's mitts for the Iraqi national team.
Although, my understanding is a softball team, and that I failed to understand.
No, it wasn't. It was the Iraqi national. It's a hardball team.
No, it was softball.
No, it was not, because I saw the guy. It was a guy.
How do you know it was a guy?
Because he had a mustache.
That don't mean nothing.
It was a guy, and it was a regular baseball team. 877-876-PHIL. Now, speaking of truth, let's get to this story here. This is there's a lot of crap going on, but I wanted to mention this because I've been plugging it, if you'll pardon the expression. This was the City Council of Los Angeles had a meeting, and it was going along, and then some jackass stood up, and he walked up there, and he says, you know, I want to speak. And the cat was wearing a Ku Klux Klan uniform. He had on a hood. He had the whole damn thing, right? So anyway, this is what happened, and you will listen. Now, listen very carefully. The first clip, you'll hear this guy walking up with the hood on and the robe. I don't know. He was making some damn statement. He was a black guy, and maybe it was some form of satire or sarcasm or both, sort of sarcire. Here, then, is this gentleman approaching the podium there at the L.A. City Council today.
Mr. Hunt is now up. Mr. Hunt, you have to move your hood. Are you refusing to move your hood? Are you refusing to move your hood? Mr. City Attorney?
Do I have to?
Mr. Hunt, we can't hear you. Remove your hood.
No. I this is part of my First Amendment privileges.
All right. No, this is part of my First Amendment privileges. And he may be right. He may be wrong. But who knows for sure? the city attorney. And that's why they say, Mr. City Attorney, we've got a thing here. There's a cat here with a hood and everything. Mr. City Attorney, no, I'm not taking my hood off. You must. No. Now they go to the city attorney, the guy they're in the middle of a damn city council meeting. The guy wants to address the city council. He's wearing a Ku Klux Klan uniform. He says it's part of his First Amendment right, but it is a city council meeting. Is it, in fact, part of his First Amendment right? Mr. City Attorney.
Mr. City Attorney, his getup that he's wearing arguably has some First Amendment protection as symbolic speech, as distasteful and misguided as it is. However, it's not an issue of anonymous speech because he's taken his hood off and on throughout the meeting.
Council members are leaving the room.
If his wearing that causes a disruption, then he could be told to remove it.
Well, he's told to remove it. We are losing the quorum.
But as of not, it's not a public.
The quorum has been lost. Thank you, Mr. Hunt.
All right, now, you see what happened? They turned to the city council attorney, and he says,
Mr. Kent, what do you think?
Well, look, you got your degree off a matchbook. Let's go, man. Well, it is, it's not anonymous speech because he was taking his hood on and off. He is entitled, but if it causes a disruption, so he's like laying two different points of law on the city council, and meanwhile now, they're losing their quorum because city council members are getting up and leaving because they don't want to look at this guy in a hood. So now where are they?
This is not an official meeting anymore. I want to state for the record, you do have the right to keep that on. I want to say as a human being, I wish you wouldn't have it on, but that is your right to keep it on. We did lose quorum because council members left, so we do not have public comment. We do not have a meeting right now.
Mr. State Attorney? We are adjourned?
We're not adjourned because the loss of quorum. You can't. Adjourn. So you could adjourn for lack of a quorum.
You can adjourn.
Are we lost?
What did I lose? Well, so in other words, if you hear that again, I was butting in, but you heard it. Okay, so we don't have a meeting anymore because we lost our quorum. So that means that there is no longer any public comment. So you there in the hood, who cares about you?
Mr. City Attorney, what do you think?
Well, you see.
The guy's getting like hit with five different, points of law he's got to define. And he finally said,
are we adjourned?
Well, you can't adjourn because there is no meeting.
Because lost quorum.
We lost the quorum, yes. All right. Way to do it. You're hired. You love that?
I understand. I know about a quorum.
You don't know about a quorum.
Yeah, man. You think you know a quorum? What do you think a quorum is?
Well, I don't know, but what about the guy in the hood?
Forget the guy in the hood. It ain't got nothing to do with the guy. The guy in the hood was the least interesting aspect of this whole thing, was that the guy that I love was the city attorney.
My city attorney, we got a guy in the hood.
Yes, well, you see.
What about hood?
Well, I want to say, first of.
Come on, let's go.
I
Loyola Marymount, class of 2002. Let's go, come on.
So he says, you can't have on the hood. Well, yes, you can because it's your protected speech. However, it's not anonymous speech because you're removing the hood and taking it on and off. So therefore, that's something. I don't know why that's significant. But if it causes a disruption, then he may be told to remove the hood. However, there is no longer a meeting because they've lost quorum. So without a meeting, there's no more public comment. And so like that. And meanwhile,
Ms. Hay, turn to you if that.
And it's 11 o'clock at night. The entire place is empty except for a guy mopping the floor. And you still got two guys sitting up there going,
Mr. Attorney,
there's nobody here,
Yeah, because can we adjourn?
Well, you can't adjourn because I know you can't adjourn. Can we leave? That's what he should have said.
We can't adjourn because you said there's no quorum.
That doesn't mean we got to spend the night here. Let's just leave.
Can we leave?
Yes. All right. Beautiful world, ain't it? 877-876. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our full number, 877-876-PHIL. At twitter.com/RealPhilHendry, you can read our comments. You can read Jace and Ralph as they go at it tonight. You can also follow with your own account, your own comments. And you can watch our live streaming video tonight at philhendryshow.com. That's where you can see live streaming video as well as hear live streaming audio. As well as get the on-demand audio tomorrow. And we'll be right back here on the Phil Hendry Show. KLBJ is a station. They fired a couple of guys for using the word wetback. Now, I just said it. I dare say I won't be fired. But I'm not saying it the way they said it. And We'll find out about that coming up next. Get to some phone calls, and we want to talk here about the Todd and Don Show on KLBJ, if you'll pardon the expression there, in Austin, Texas. But first, just a quick comment on the guy that does the Iraq reporting for CNN, Mike Ward, is that his name? You talk about a stumbling alcoholic.
Yeah, that man, I can't understand his thing.
That is guy, is right here in Iraq, is where they are, and he's got a nose that's all busted up, and he's talking like he just rolled out of bed. He's on TV right now with a big, it's like a, I don't know, a curry stain on his shirt. He's, oh, you're a mess there, Mike.
And here, Michael Ware, we're talking about,
like it's, he's Johnny, he's Ozzy Osbourne with a little bit of Johnny Rotten thrown in. I mean, the guy's got to have guts. With that busted nose, I bet you he got into a couple of, you know, throw down someplace along the line, you know?
Yeah, probably some bar in downtown Baghdad.
That's right, man. Bar in downtown Baghdad. Okay, let's take a phone call. World famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to talk first to Jeremy. Jeremy, listening to us in Phoenix. Welcome to the program, Jeremy. What's on your mind?
All right. Excuse me.
Yes.
I don't know how you can think that he's not trying to implement socialism with what he's doing. I mean, with him taking over the banks and AIG and the...
Did he do it, or was this a part of the TARP and the outgoing Bush administration? In other words, a bipartisan effort to keep banks from failing.
Right, and I'm not saying Bush, as far as I'm concerned, was just a fiscal socialist, as far as I'm concerned.
I see. So you're a Ron Paul guy.
No, not necessarily. I'm not really into Ron Paul. But, I mean, what he's doing is, I mean, he's more government involvement. And in reality, when has government ever worked? I mean, look at Medicare and social
We landed on the moon. We landed on the moon.
Well, right. I mean, we did.
We fought World War II.
Right, but where is all that?
We have a GI. We have a thing called a GI Bill.
Well, yeah.
We have unemployment insurance. We have Medicaid and Medicare, which my mother used throughout her senior years.
And I'm not necessarily right, but those are all failing things. I mean, those are not failing.
The GI Bill is failing.
It's not failing.
How about our exploration of space?
Well, I'm not necessarily talking about that stuff. I'm talking about the stuff.
Well, yes, you were. You asked a question. When has government, anything sponsored by the government, ever worked? And I gave you some examples.
Well, and those are some good things, but I'm necessarily.
What about unemployment insurance? Do you think that's good?
Well, and I think that's acceptable for a time. I mean, what about welfare?
Okay.
I mean, how good is welfare?
Well, but you're right. But I mean, I'm just giving you another example of a government sponsored program which has helped a lot of people, has been successful. I don't think anybody, even the most conservative in the world, would want to get rid of unemployment insurance. Do you?
Well, no, and I don't either. But I don't think
right.
him stepping into the. I mean, I think GM should have just failed. I mean, it only.
Well, that's a matter of debate. But your initial point was. You don't think the government getting involved in anything is any good, and they never sponsor anything that's any good. I think that's debatable. Now, you want them to fail? Okay, that's one way of looking at it. There was another way of looking at it. Let's try to keep the company alive somehow and hold on to whatever jobs we can, you know. And they chose the other decision rather than have the company fail. They decided to try to keep GM alive. It's not the first time that we've lent money to a big automaker. It's not the first time that we've lent money to a company at all. It's not unprecedented. It's happened before. So I don't exactly understand your point here. Now you're saying that Obama did something different. He said, if you want our money, then we're going to attach some we're attaching some requirements, some provisos to this loan, and you don't like that. Is that it?
Well, I just don't think that's necessarily the role of government. And I know we've done it before in other things. I mean, even Reagan did it.
All right. So why is Obama getting singled out as a socialist if Reagan's done it, if Carter's done it, if a lot of other presidents have done it? Why is it, for instance, that Eisenhower is not a socialist when he decided to put an interstate system in, a federal interstate system built during the administration of a Republican?
Because Eisenhower was a different person, and I just think you have to look at, I mean...
What's different about Obama?
Well, why would he buddy up to dictators? I mean, why would you buddy up...
Why did Nixon buddy up to dictators? He was a Republican.
Well, Nixon was a bum. I mean, I'm not saying...
Why did Ronald Reagan buddy up to dictators? We allied ourselves with Iraq in the Iraq-Iran war.
I'm not sure.
All right, you know what? I know. And you know what? No offense, man, but these are the questions, and they're redundant. I have to keep saying the same thing to people. It's Jeremy. Jeremy, I would just ask you, as an intelligent man, which I know you are, please, please, please think for yourself. Think for yourself. Don't listen to these ideologues who have these campaign button slogans that define everybody in three words, please. All right, we're going to come back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. We got that KLBJ story, and the Michael Jackson video was the hair on fire. Wait till you hear about this. Coming up.
Phil Hendry.